Our partner, Petzl, helps bring us podcasts, helps us produce podcasts.
They keep the lights on for us, Scott.
Oh, that's good. Did you just come up with that?
Yeah, I did.
That was you're pretty quick.
Well,
hey, I want to talk about one of the surprising facts that we learned about Petzl Tika RXPs.
I'm leaning forward, Scott, because I don't even know what it is.
Yeah, you do.
What?
We were talking the other day about the difference between the Now and the Tika RXP.
Right.
We're saying how great it was that the Now has a replaceable, rechargeable battery that you can just, you know, unplug it, plug it, and you're on the road.
So you can have two batteries on a long run, and right. You could refresh and go.
Right, right. Well, one thing that we haven't talked about is the Tika RXP also has a replaceable, rechargeable battery.
I had no idea.
Yeah, you did. We talked about this.
No.
Or are you just acting surprised?
No. When you told me, I'm going back in time, Scott.
Right.
So that's what I was doing.
It was a discussion we had. I said, well, Don, the rechargeable battery in the Tika RXP is replaceable. I said, it may be more difficult to replace than the Now. And so I took my Tika RXP and I popped it open. I went, wow, this is, you could easily have a Tika RXP buy one or two more rechargeable batteries, because the Now battery does last longer. But the Tika RXP, you could buy a couple of those rechargeable batteries, put one in a couple drop bags, and you're good for as long as I would be out on the trail.
So go out and buy yourself a Petzl, and whether it's a Now or the Tika RXP, and see.
Everybody that I know that has bought one has not been disappointed.
Faith, give me a little 1-2.
1-2.
1, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Check.
Ashley, were you expecting a professional podcast?
No, I wasn't. Apparently not. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
And it was a miserable, miserable day.
Thanks for joining another edition of Trail Runner Nation. My name's Scott Warr.
I'm Don Freeman, and I'm here with Adam Campbell. And Adam Campbell just completed third place at 2014 Hard Rock here in Silverton, Colorado. Congratulations, Adam.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, no, I mean, that was a real honor. It was a really special edition of the race. I mean, the race is special in itself, but...
Adam, we show up to one of the most difficult 100-mile races on the planet, and then mix in some of the top endurance athletes in the world. And how do you approach training? How do you approach race preparation when you're confronted with this?
I get a lot of vertical into my training anyway. That's sort of what I enjoy doing. It just so happens I still can maintain a little bit of leg speed when I'm racing as well. But that's the kind of stuff I enjoy doing. I mean, that's what I default to on my daily runs. I've been living in Calgary, Alberta, and so we have the Rockies right there. And so it was perfect terrain to train for this for sure. In terms of specifics, what I did for this, you know, just lots of, because I work full time, so it was just lots of really big weekends, and then I run commute to the office, and so that's my weekly training, and then on the weekends I go and try to get in as much vertical as I can.
How far is it to your office?
Well, it depends. Yeah, you know, I've got a few different routes. You know, if I slept in a little bit, you know, so as short as half an hour, as long as, you know, like up to, you know, 10 miles. Before and after work.
If you sleep in, is that when you get your leg turnover?
Yeah, that's right. I gotta hurry. Yeah, and I also run with a big pack. Most of the time, you know, it's probably 12-15 pounds, because I have a laptop in there and a suit and, you know, lunch for the day and stuff. So I also consider my strength training. But it, you know, it's a great way for people to fit it in. If you don't, you know, a lot of people complain about not having time during the day to train. Run commute. It's a great way of doing it. So,
well, you mentioned that you have a suit. In that bag, we're talking like a dress suit.
Yeah, it's a dress suit. I'm a lawyer, and you guys may not know this, but I also have the Guinness World Record for running the fastest marathon in a business suit.
So, I
ran 2:35 at the Royal Victoria Marathon in a full business suit with a tie and everything.
I was going to say, was that a real race, or were you late for a court date?
Yeah, no, you know, the world's fastest lawsuit, that's right. Yeah, I finished, I was sixth at the race. It was a real race, yeah. It was hard.
I hope you didn't miss the opportunity to get a new sponsor for Brooks Suitwear or something.
Yeah, no, that's right. Actually, a men's, I did it to raise money for a legal charity who provides free legal service for people who can't afford it. And a men's store in the town I was living at the time donated a suit for that experience, but it got trashed. It was like $1,000 suit. That it was a one and done. Yeah.
you couldn't dry clean that one, huh?
Yeah, no, absolutely not. No. It was that thing's not salvageable. But, hey, yeah.
Let's get back to the course for a second. Yeah, for sure. So, you know, this was set up 2014 as possibly the most the greatest number of entrants as far as skill level. As we looked at the field, it looked like a number of front runners were going to be there. Did you feel that pushed the pace or pushed your pace? Did it change your race at all?
It didn't necessarily change my race per se. I'm still really new to 100 milers. I was only my second 100 miler, so I'm really intimidated by it. And I was really intimidated by the course. So my game plan was just to race my own race and stick to it. And you know, I assumed that if I went through that process, I might be able to have a good day. But I also know that a course like this, anything can happen. You know, so many possible variables. It's a long time to be out there. I'd never run more than the last 100 miler I did took me 19 and a half hours. So, you know, I was in a whole new territory for long parts of that run. So it's always a learning process. And, in terms of the field, it's, you know, it really is an honor to be able to race against, you know, one Killian. I mean, just to be able to be competing at a time with a legend like that, it's unbelievable. What he did today was... Hey, he's just playing, and he just destroyed the course record. No, he's a real talent. But then everybody else as well. You know, Julien Chaurier is obviously he's so tough. He looked hobbled when he finished, but he still is just crushing it out there. And then a lot of other great runners, you know, just unfortunately didn't have the days that they, they all worked really, really hard for this. But, I mean, that's what happens when it becomes a race. That's what happens. Some people are going to have great days, and other people are going to falter on the day. You know, when you narrow your margin for success, it becomes a lot harder for sure. So,
you know, let's talk about the course a little bit. This is a very unique course with lots of steep climbs, lots of amazing descents, lots of snow, lots of glissading. What would you say through the last 25 hours, 26 hours, what was the hardest part of the course for you?
The hardest part of the course, to be honest, actually, I didn't really have a very good sense of what was coming up most of the time. So for me, it was just trying to stay in the moment. It was what I found hardest, you know, not planning too far ahead, not looking too far ahead. It's just taking care of the little details. In terms of steepness, you have highs and lows, but that's what you expect with a 100 miler. And you're just working your way through the lows that ultimately determines how your day is going to go. Sorry, go ahead.
Did you know the course real well? I mean, we've talked to the race director, Dale, about how this isn't a really well-marked course, and in fact, they expect the runners to be able to navigate, to be able to make it through the course without course markings. Did you ever fall into going the wrong direction or get a little confused about which way you were going?
Oh, yeah, all the time, yeah. No, I'd never seen the course before. I actually didn't really even look at the maps that closely, to be honest. And both of my pacers had never seen the course either. So I actually flew in from Spain on Wednesday. I was at my brother's wedding in Spain for the last 10 days. So I've been lying on the beach partying. Like, literally, it was pretty much like a week-long bender with my brother going into this. So apparently that taper works. Yeah.
So people are taking notes at home right now.
Yeah, that's
right. Don't look at the course. Go to the beach. Drink a lot of fine wine.
Well, okay, you know what, though? Getting back to the point, one thing that I think that does reinforce is... For a course this hard, you know, rest is very, very important. And I think a lot of people really overdo it in the couple of weeks going into a big event like this. But the more you can rest, the more likely you are to have a great race, for sure. So,
Can we talk a little bit about those climbs? Because we were out on the course and trying to get some pictures and some images. That's some serious climbing. On that hill profile, when you see them like this, they are like that.
Oh, it's amazing. It's so, so steep. And, you know, especially when your legs are shattered and... It takes a lot of willpower. You know, one of my little tips for people is, you know, I count steps down from 100, start 199, just when I'm starting to feel bad, and it just keeps me in the moment. And you can't look at the summit. You know, if you think about what you're about to undertake, it's seriously overwhelming. You have to just stay fully engaged in the moment, and the more you can do that, the better. But, I mean, there's times when it got away from me, and I had some pretty big low patches, but I figure, you know, so long as you're moving forward, you're having a pretty good day at Hard Rock.
Do you think as a climber you had an advantage with some of those steep climbs? You know, as a climber you got to have some pretty strong legs and strong core.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not a runner's race. It's definitely a hiking race. You know, they call it Hard Walk for a reason, right? Um, But yeah, I mean, if you want to prepare and train for a race like Hard Rock, you just have to get on steep terrain all the time. And I actually think for ultras in general, it's actually a pretty good rule. You know, it's ultra running is all about strength ultimately. So the more time you can spend on steep terrain and hiking, the better off it benefits most of your training for sure.
So we were out on the course yesterday, and Colorado, if you've never been to Colorado, the weather here, especially in the high country, because you can't see the storms coming, you're surrounded by these gigantic mountains. When we were out on the course, you know, it rained, came in a couple times in just the few hours we were out on the course. How did the weather impact your race?
Oh, I mean, the weather is definitely a big factor. It rained for a lot of the evening section, so it got really cold. And, my partner and I went to the highest point in the race, Handy's Peak, and we'd literally just hit the summit. And as we were going up there was lightning starting, and we could tell it was getting really, really close. But we thought that the weather system was passing by, and we figured the best option when we're up there, there is no shelter. Like, you are fully exposed to the elements, is we had to just get up and over the summit and back down to, to more sheltered areas as quickly as possible. But the second we hit the summit, as we were walking up there, we saw a lightning strike the summit, and we're like, oh, this is not good. But we figured that the lightning was about 5 minutes apart, so we just tried to book it across the summit, and the second we hit it, both Aaron and I got struck by lightning. It was crazy. My headlamp blew up, and both Aaron and I fell to the ground, and we're so fortunate that we weren't seriously injured, either of us. Yeah, it was probably one of the most terrifying experiences I've ever had.
Adam, you were literally struck by lightning on Handy's at Hard Rock this year.
Yeah, literally struck by lightning. It hit both. Aaron got struck in the back of the head, and my headlamp, I was using a Petzl Now. There's a battery pack on the back. The battery pack exploded.
Do you still have that? You got to send it back to Petzl and have them take a look at that.
Yeah, no, I think so. I think it's probably going to go in the Petzl Hall of Fame.
I think you should put in for a warranty. I think that it should be able to stand up to lightning strikes,
don't
you?
I don't know if it said lightning strikes, because I have a Now, and I don't think I saw it mention the lightning strikes.
I'm just wondering if maybe that battery pack somehow, and I'm not a electrical engineer, somehow absorbed some of that shock, and maybe it saved your life.
Yeah, I mean, it very well could have. We're both, as I said, so fortunate that we weren't seriously injured. We were both able to, because my headlamp had blown up, we only had one headlamp. And after some serious profanity, as we hit the deck, we both agreed that we just had to get out of there as quickly as possible. We had a spare headlamp, but we didn't want to take it out because it was raining really hard as well, and the lightning was still going. So we got off the mountain as quickly as possible. We just used Aaron's headlamp. And it was Aaron Height who was my crewing for me and pacing through me at that section. And I followed. Aaron ran right behind me, and he illuminated a trail, and we got down as quickly as possible. It would have been quite spectacular to see. It was like a little tango down the trail together. But, absolutely terrifying. Yeah, really, really scary.
Can I ask you a question? As you're, what mile is that in the race, Handy's? About 68-ish, are you in about that range? Right?
Sorry, I speak metric.
Okay, I'm sorry.
three quarters
of the way.
It's about three quarters of the way in, and it's the highest mountain in the race.
Right, yeah. And so now you're up there, and certainly legs are getting a bit fatigued because you've been climbing all day, and it's Hard Rock, right? All of a sudden, when catastrophe is around you, did you notice a new lift in your step? Did you notice your legs were no longer tired, and it was
It's funny you say that. Actually, that is exactly what happened. Yeah. Both Aaron and I, we ran really, really fast off of Handy's and kept that up for quite a while. I paid for it a little bit later on,
right?
But we both felt, we had also had something to talk about for a little while. But
sure,
yeah, and it definitely, it brought Aaron and I closer together as friends. I mean, we're really good friends already,
right?
But that is one of those life-changing experiences for sure.
There's some adrenaline that is all of a sudden pumping through your body.
Oh, absolutely. As I said, it pitch black, pouring rain. Rain lashing down with one headlamp, and we got off Handy so fast. It was probably one of the fastest I ran all day. Yeah.
You may have the record if there was Strava, and we were using that.
Killian still probably has it.
you think?
So, yeah.
You
think? Yeah. But, yeah.
Wow. You know, that's how do you feel now after the race? How far are we after your finish? A few hours?
Yeah, a couple hours. You know, just incredibly satisfied.
Yeah.
It's something special to be able to prepare specifically for something, which I've done. You know, I've definitely, the second I found out I was in Hard Rock, I prepared very specifically for this event. And to be able to execute the race that you want on your day, it was awesome. You know, I got beaten by two world-class athletes. So, you know, there's no shame in that. I couldn't have done anything more than I did today. So I was ecstatic with it.
Do you feel Hard Rock is more of a race against man or mountain?
Oh, you know, I don't even necessarily know if it's a race, really.
Yeah.
You know, it's a, you know, it is a race, but it's a challenge. It's the best way of describing it. So you are challenged by the mountains. You are challenged by the elements. You know, you challenge yourself internally as well. You know, you go through these big highs and lows, and so a lot of times you're asking yourself, "What am I doing this for?" And this is, you're out there for a really long time, and but it also has this unbelievable atmosphere. You know, it's funny when you talk to people that have done the race or have volunteered here for years or have, you know, friends who have done it. There's sort of like this, like, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. You know, you know what Hard Rock's all about now. You know, like, it's different. It's just special. I don't think a race like Hard Rock could be permitted, you know, a lot of times.
Right.
But because, you know, it is quite dangerous. Like, you are exposed at times. You are supposed to be self-sufficient. You know, it is more of a mountaineering type experience. It's a big mountain experience.
Well, welcome to the club. You are now an official member of the Hard Rock Endurance Run Club.
Well, we can't really welcome to the club because we're not in that club.
I was dubbed.
Oh.
I'm doing it by proxy.
Okay, good.
Dale Garland gave me the authority to welcome him
good.
In.
Well, that's good. I have a final question for you. That you finished in 25 hours and some change. There are people that are going to be out there for 40 plus is the average time to finish, and up to 48 hours. What are your thoughts on those athletes out there?
I have so much respect for them. You know, it's unbelievable what they're doing. They go through their own challenges. I've never done anything for that long, so I can't imagine what they go through. But, you know, these are people that have, you know, sacrificed months, years, you know, their time to do this. And, you know, they've probably taken some family time to do it. But they're out there experiencing exactly the same things that we are, just for much longer. I mean, I can't imagine being in that kind of exposure for that length of time. And the fatigue I'm feeling after 26 hours, you know, add another 14, 20 hours onto that is unbelievable. Serious respect for anybody who, you know, dares to enter the lottery. And anybody who completes the event or has to drop out for whatever reason, but has put the time in to prepare for it, it really is very, very special.
Do you think you'll come back to the Hard Rock?
Oh, I'll probably come back. Yeah, you know, I'll definitely want to come back and crew next because I had an amazing experience with Gary Robbins and Aaron Height, my Pacers and crew, and I would love to come back and give back in that form. And I'd probably come back and race it for sure. Yeah, absolutely. It's really tough. I probably wouldn't have the same race I had today. And every time you toe the line at 100, it's a new experience. And that's, you know, I enjoy that. But lots of other great races too out there.
What's next for you?
Rest.
Good answer. Yeah. To a beach with fine wine.
Yeah. Next race is I'm doing the Squamish 50. I'm moving to Vancouver. I'm actually starting a new job on Tuesday, which will be interesting. They'll be like, who's that guy hobbling around the office? Yeah. But then, so I'm doing racing the Squamish 50, and then I'll be running racing the Rut, the Sky Running season finale. Then I'll probably race the World 50K Championships in Doha. I just ran my first ever road ultra, which was a flat 50K, which was really weird. But I got a qualifier for World 50K Championships, and they fly me out to Doha for 5 days and put me up. So figure why not take that opportunity? I may never go to Doha otherwise.
As you're talking about these races that are coming up, you just ran Hard Rock 100, which is possibly one of the toughest hundreds, at least in the United States. Do you have a false sense of security, or how do you go into a 50K or a 50 miler after doing the Hard Rock?
Oh, no. I have respect for every ultra I do. No, they're all really hard. You know, any race I do, I have respect for, whether it's a 1500 all the way up to 100-mile mountain runs. No, I don't think I would have any false sense of security, but, you know, I learned a lot today, and I'll just take those lessons and apply them to other races. But Hard Rock's so different that the lessons from Hard Rock wouldn't apply to a 50K road race. So, yeah.
So one last question on your Petzl now. I heard rumors that all you need to do is replace that battery. It still works?
Unbelievably, it did. Yeah, so because we were down to only, you know, one spare headlamp and the one that Aaron was using. And when we got down, I figured it would be fried. But no, it was literally just the battery pack, but the rest of the headlamp was fine. And I had a spare battery. And once we actually got into shelter, I was able to swap it out in finished the race with this, the Petzl. So this is one quality product. I mean, one, it's a great headlamp. And yes, I'm sponsored by them. So, you know, definitely a sponsor plug there. But it's unbelievable, especially such a dark night last night. And both Aaron and I were wearing them and so happy with the performance of that piece and the fact that it can actually withstand lightning.
Now it's been tested.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hopefully they use that in their next marketing campaign. Yeah.
Adam Campbell, thank you so much for spending some time with us and sharing your experience. And this is the first time we've talked to an ultra runner that's been struck by lightning. So you, I'm sure, have a reputation that will follow you.
Well, it was funny, actually. Right after we got struck by lightning, Aaron said something to the effect of, you know, you have a greater chance of winning the lottery than you do getting struck by lightning. I was like, but I won the Hard Rock lottery, too. So I was like, my odds are pretty good.
You better go buy some lottery tickets, pal.
Yeah, that's right. I would give them to Aaron. Yeah, so.
Well, thanks again. We look forward to seeing more of you.
Yeah, thank you so much. And thanks for the coverage. And, I look forward to hearing the podcast and listening to the show. It's fantastic.
All right. Thank you.
Great. Thanks.